coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who will never negotiate to sit out of a podcast. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob It's a Podcast. We have got a great episode for you today. I'm so excited to bring you an interview that I have been trying to track down for you for the last couple of years here on the Survivor Recap. And that is Angelina Cardona Keeley. He's going to be here with us. Of course, you can watch the YouTube version of this and see my interview with Angelina here on our YouTube channel. Of course, if you listen to the podcast, just do nothing. Stay right here. Don't go anywhere because we got a good one coming up here today on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, a lot still to come this week. We are going to have Hannah Shapiro on the feedback show. Get your feedback questions in if you're listening to this on Friday. Nasir is going to join me this weekend. We'll catch up with him here to talk about the differences between Survivor 41 and Survivor 42, plus Jessica Leese on the Survivor Academy for the patrons of Robert's Podcast. This morning, I spoke with Chanel, the mayor of Ponderosa, on our exit interview. A fun interview with Chanel, who is clearly a student of the game, had a lot of interesting thoughts about how she got into this predicament and what the other players around her were feeling, which ultimately led to her being voted out of the tribe. Recommend that on our exit interview podcast and everything we're doing over at robisawebsite.com/subscribe. Some sad news from the Survivor world this week. In case you're not on social media, Ralph Kaiser from Survivor Redemption Island passed away this week. He had a heart attack. He was 56 years old. Very sad to see that news. Ralph, I think that anybody who remembers Survivor Redemption Island is never going to forget him. He was a big character on the show. He was known for the incredible amount of like burly chest hair that he had. He found the idol in the Zapatera camp, really completely undid Russell Hance 3.0 as Russell was out there looking for the idol without a clue. He also was the one vote for Philip at the Survivor Redemption Island final tribal council. And so he was a big character on the show. Really sad to hear about this this week. He was a young man, 56, Ralph Kaiser. So our thoughts going out to Ralph and everybody in the Kaiser family. We are going to bring in Angelina in just a moment. Before we get to our interview with Angelina, I want to take a moment to thank a sponsor of this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Progressive. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. Then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find that getting the rate and coverage you deserve is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get the quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare. So it's easy to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rate quotes at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. I'm so excited to welcome this guest to the podcast. This is somebody who has been one of the most requested guests that we've had over the last couple of years. I have asked her many, many times to be with us here to recap an episode of the show. She is incredibly busy. We've finally been able to work it out. I'm so happy to have here with us from Survivor David versus Goliath, Angelina Keeley is here. Angelina, how are you?
Oh, so good. I'm so happy to be here with you, Rob. Thank you for asking me so much. Thank you for staying persistent. It's been, just with the, you know, the last couple of years becoming a mom, and you get it.
No need to explain. No need to explain that we've been gone back and forth and have tried to figure out dates that work. And I'm so happy to finally have you here because people have been dying to hear from you. You keep it so fun on Twitter talking about the show that you're always able. You have such a good sense of humor for everything about the show. I love all of your commentary during the season. So it's so nice to have you to talk about where we are at in Survivor 42.
Thank you. And what a fun season to talk about, too. I feel like 42 has been a breath of fresh air. Such a great cast. Such a mess sometimes, which I love to watch. And I think there's a lot to unpack.
Okay. Before we talk Survivor, let's get all of the updates. So, of course, you mentioned being a mom. How's everything going at home?
It's awesome. So I had my daughter, Sophia, end of February of 2020. So she just turned two. She was also born 2 weeks before the pandemic hit. So that was a really, I'll be honest, a very rough introduction to motherhood and to parenthood because it was like isolation and so much fear and unknown, especially those first few months. I'm sure everyone can recall. It's like, how far does it jump? And can we be around people outdoors? And there were so many questions that kind of stacking that on top of being a new mom was just like anxiety city. And I'm not an anxious person by nature, but it was a really rough few months for the beginning. I mean, I loved her. I'm still obsessed with her. She's like the best thing that's ever happened to me. But the pandemic matched with like new motherhood was like really, really terrible for me. Like, I had like postpartum depression. I've talked about that a little bit on my Instagram. I'm really open about that because it's something that affects like 1 in 4 women. So it's super common, but really like stigmatized still, I think. And so I definitely had it. I'm sure the pandemic played a role in that. I'm doing, you know, I'm all healed up. I'm much better now. Got the help I needed. But yeah, it was a lot. It was a really big change. And like I said, I was all alone doing it too, which parenthood should not happen alone. So it was crazy.
Okay. And could you give us some updates on your nonprofit as well?
Yeah. So, I should also say like that was a couple years ago now, but, so Sophia's like the light of my life. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Love her to death. And related to my nonprofit, like I have this extra surge now having a daughter to keep doing the work that I'm doing with Miss Limitless. We have a new name as of a year ago. So Miss Limitless, the nonprofit I started right after our Survivor season wrapped, is going well. We have a couple really big things coming out soon. Just really briefly, we have a 2-year research report that we conducted that looked at why girls run. Really excited to launch that soon. And then our campaign school, we're launching that nationally soon too. So a lot of big things coming out and just so excited and love the work that I get to do.
Yeah. And I think this like dovetails nicely into where we were talking about with Survivor, and we could talk more about the specifics of Survivor 42, but I really do feel like that a lot of the fan base, I think properly really gives you a lot of the credit for some of the positive changes that they've seen in Survivor going back to you, because I think that you were the first person to take a lot of the discourse that was happening online about Survivor and then bring it into the show and have these things be spoken about like on screen to the point where now a lot of the things that you were talking about back in Survivor 37 have changed.
Thank you. I appreciate when people give me those kudos. I think nothing exists in a vacuum, right? Like there have been a lot of people over the years. I mean, Cass has brought stuff up. Chrissy brought stuff up. There's been a lot of other women even before me who have been talking about these things. I think I was fortunate enough to be on the show at the right time. And I'm also one of those people, I'm very vocal. I'm not shy, as everyone saw from being on the show. And I speak my mind. And I did call out those things on the show. And I'm grateful that production showed them, right? Because they have so much content, so they choose what to show. And they did show a lot of me talking about like women finding idols and men taking credit for things that women say sometimes, like themes that are beyond Survivor. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful that I had the platform to say those. I'm grateful the show showed them. And I'm even more grateful now that there have been changes happening in the show as an impact.
Yeah. And we talked about this recently with Shannon Gus on the podcast, that your season, since from season 38 on, women are now finding idols at a higher rate than men are.
Yeah.
How about that?
I am obsessed with that. I'm so happy to see that. Look, I cannot take all the credit for that. Like, finding an idol is really hard, mm-hmm. but I do think there's something about one of my kind of theories of change in life is that when we call something out, when we say kind of the facts of or the reality of something, it gives the control back to make the change. Right. Yeah. And so by me calling it out on the show, lots of people already knew that, right? Like a lot of people already knew there was, you know, a dearth in female winners and a dearth in women finding idols. But by kind of putting that out there into the universe, I hope that it gave the extra motivation yeah. to future players to be like, dude, I'm going to change that stat. Like, I'm going to go out there and find them. But kudos to all the women, you know, since me saying that, who have gone out there, gotten dirty, gotten their hands literally red painted and so forth to get the idols. Because as all the players who are out there say, like when they're on camera, they're like, hey, it looks so much easier at home. It's crazy. It's really a big task when yeah. you're there. And it's a risky play, right? Because it's seen as very aggressive play. But I think there's been a trend, I hope, that there's more acceptance and more permission, not that we need permission, for players of all, you know, genders and creeds and, you know, regardless of your identity, to play the game that they want to play, right? To kind of get us out of these boxes that we can be put into sometimes.
Right. And I don't even think that it has been so much that like, oh, production has like really radically changed the way that people find idols. Like it's pretty similar. There's like a few tweaks here and there, but overall, I think that it has just been sort of like, I think people, specifically women, have just been bolder in like going and looking for them.
Yeah, just being more, I think in general, the through line is more aggressive gameplay from women. And like I said, finding an idol, searching for an idol is seen as an aggressive move. It's seen as something where you're being very proactive. You're taking the game into your own hands. You're not just sitting back and like riding someone's coattails, right? And I think that as time is going on, the game is evolving. I think there's more respect given for that type of game, regardless, I said, of who's playing it, right? And so I love seeing it. I'm all about it. You know, I'm cheering these women on from home, and I'm really glad to see the change.
Angelina, what's been the response for you in terms of David versus Goliath, one of the best seasons, has been airing on Netflix now. So there's been a whole second wave of people watching your season for the first time. What's been sort of like the feedback coming your way from people that are watching the show now?
You know, it's fascinating because I feel like when it aired the first time, well, and I should say maybe the audience who watches on CBS is different than the audiences who watch on Netflix and Hulu, because the reception, at least that I've gotten, is much more positive with these rollouts. And maybe it's a time, like a sign of the changing times. Maybe mm-hmm. it's the population who watches on these platforms. I'm not sure.
You were ahead of your time.
You know, try to pioneer some things, but yeah. You know, I much less negativity than last time. I also do a really good job of like not checking certain places and areas, because it's just like, I think I might've told you this, you know, years ago, is that I generally like, I don't read comments for the most part. I don't check my folder of like people that I don't know for good or for bad. Right. It's just like, for me, it's just a protection mechanism to, I don't need all that extra noise in my life. You know what I mean? I want to focus on my family. I want to focus on what matters. And so, you know, I wish I could be more interactive with fans, but I think because of the history of everything that happened with our first airing, it's just the way that I've kind of created boundaries sure. to protect myself from toxicity. It's out there, unfortunately. And some people online are absolutely batshit, right? And some people are really kind. And I just choose to filter in the kindness.
Sure. I mean, when you have a show with, you know, 6 million people are watching, you know, that there's definitely like going to be some like, you know, and it might just be like, you know, the worst 100 people out of 6 million. But, you know, it still is a very difficult thing to be dealing with.
Yeah. But I will say, yeah, the Netflix Hulu launches have been really great. It's I'm glad that more people are getting more content of Survivor, because I think it's such a wonderful break and reprieve from the times, right? There's so much going on in the world. We mentioned COVID. There's a war in Ukraine, which is horrific. Like so many big things, like cost of everything going up. People have a lot of stressors in their daily lives. And so I love Survivor because I think it's such a chance to like mentally just have a nice break and enjoy time with family for an hour a week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about Survivor 42 and where we're at. Just sort of big picture. I would have to think that you're enjoying the season.
I am. Honestly, I mean, not to say anything, I try not to compare seasons too much because I know people from each season, so I never want to offend anyone, but I feel like this cast on a whole just popped a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There seems to be more personalities, a little bit more conflict, which makes for better TV in my opinion. And so I'm really enjoying this season.
Okay. Do you have any players in particular that have really caught your attention?
Oh, quite a few. Yes. I'll say off the bat, I'm loving Drea. I think that she is just a beast in so many ways. I mean, obviously her her ammunition speaks for itself. Like all of the crazy things I know everyone's talked about, like her war chest essentially that she has now. And you work hard for that, right? She's working her ass off out there. I also love, like, I love her cutthroatness, like where she's just like, I don't know these people. Like she's not getting too emotionally attached, which I think actually is one of the benefits to the shorter game, is that the relationships don't have as much time to get deep. And so I think people can play a little bit more of a logical, less emotionally driven game. It might also just be her personality, I think, just based off of, you know, what I see in her interviews and stuff. But she's just been really fun to watch because I don't think we see someone like her a lot. I also get a kick out of Tori. I know people have very strong feelings about her. She's the villainess of this season for sure, without a doubt. And she's fun for me because she's playing a really aggressive game, which I appreciate. Yeah. And I relate to a lot. I know there's been, I asked if anyone had questions before this podcast with you, Rob, and I got quite a few asking like, oh, what do you think about the comparisons between myself and Tori? I'll say off the bat, she is like leaps and bounds more athletic than me. So on that front, like okay. She takes the cake. She's awesome. I'm really proud of her for that. I think in terms of the similarities I do see between us is that she's playing an aggressive game. She's playing a like leave it all out there on the island game. And that was very much so my mentality going into David versus Goliath, for better or for worse, because I think it was definitely my downfall at times, was playing too hard and trying too much. But I see where she's coming from. And I see it as like, not to say anything bad about, you know, Chanel, but she even said like, dang, like I could have done more. Right. And I think given the choice of like feeling regret of not doing enough versus regret of maybe doing too much, I'd rather err on the side of doing too much. And I think Tori's erring on that side of like going all in. You know, it doesn't always work for her, obviously, but I think she's really fun to watch. And I think it's always fun for me to see women who are just like bold like that and who don't care, right? Who are just playing their own game. Drea and Tori have been really fun. I love Omar. Who doesn't love Omar? Yeah. Like what a sweetheart. Mike's fun, you know, Jonathan, easy on the eyes and also playing a good game. Like there are just so many, you know, I like when Romeo's interesting to me. Like there's just so much richness and depth. Hi. Oh my God. I know I'm like mentioning everyone. I'm not trying to,
a good guest.
Hi in his cattiness, but his like, he's really smart too. And he's really cutthroat and he's just a fascinating, really, really strong player, I think, strategically. And so just the whole mix of all of them, I think it's just such a fun season.
So how about this? So the episode this week spent a lot of time focused on like sort of like the big group. And then there are the people that are at the bottom and the people that are trying to sort of like, okay, figure out where they are and how they're sort of like handling not being in that big group. You did such a good job in your season where, you know, you came into the merge, you were part of the big group. Things didn't go your way for those first couple of votes, but you did a really great job of, you know, ingratiating yourself into a position where then you ended up looking like that you were probably the next person to go, at least to us at home, to getting to the final three. Yes. What advice would you give these players who are at the bottom right now, who are looking for a foothold to sort of get back into the game?
Yeah, I mean, what I did and what I think I see a lot of them doing too is staying open to all your options, right? And making inroads where you might not have seen inroads before, and just kind of taking it day by day, building those relationships. It's something that wasn't shown a lot on David versus Goliath, but I did a lot of, you know, relationship building with a lot of the Davids, right? So like when that merge vote happened, not to recount, you know, David versus Goliath a lot, but basically when I was on the bottom and felt on the outs with a lot of the Goliaths, I just started to develop relationships, real relationships with people on the David tribe who I related to, who I really liked, and just slowly started gaining their trust. And I think they liked me too. And I have a lot of parts of myself that relates to David. So just finding things to relate on, finding ways to connect. I think that obviously at the end of the day, it's a human game, right? And so I think that's what a lot of these people who are on the outs are going to do. You know, Marianne using a lot of her emotional awareness, and that's a strength for her, right? And even though she may not be in the majority right now, she for sure seems like someone who can wiggle her way and kind of hodgepodge a group together that might work for her to keep going in deep. Tori, I think, just based off of what we're seeing so far, might struggle with that a little bit more, just because I think she comes off as a little brash sometimes. And I don't mean that as a negative. I just think she, you know, comes off a little bit more harsh. But her strength is like that she's killing it on the challenges, right? So she's going to find a way to continue forward. I think she's going to be a big player for a good part of the merge. So I think it's like build the block by block, person by person, and just know that things shift every boat, right? Like, especially nowadays, it's like you don't have the clumps that stay together for five or six votes. It's like everything shifts every vote. So there's hope, alas, for all of them.
How hard is that to sort of like know you're in that position that is not a great one, but not be seen as where we saw that Romeo was really branded as being, oh, he's very paranoid, that he is trying too hard to make something happen. Like, how can you feel you are not just running around trying to make something happen when you are in a bad position in the game?
It's so hard. I feel for Romeo because he was spot on, right? Like he was aware of what was going on and he took action into his own hands. And we don't know how many times things shifted on the island, right? Like we don't see every time someone changes their mind. We just get a glimpse into what happens that day. And so for him, you know, I thought it was almost unfair that they were like, oh, he's so paranoid because he had every right to be.
Yes.
But at the same time, one of the biggest things on the island is like self-control and keeping your emotions in check so that you don't become a target or liability. Right. And so even though he knew his name was out there, you know, he almost became the target because of how he was acting. So it's so hard when you're that tired and alone and hungry to keep yourself in check. Especially when you feel like it's literally your life on the line. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, I think the players who do really well for the long term on the game have a good level of self-control with their emotions.
You mentioned how hungry the contestants are out there. Last night, we saw that it has become a big part of the show, I guess, now, where that Jeff, once again, is going to tempt the survivors. He sets this up that they've built a whole segment out of the show, Angelina. Another thing that we have to say. This is the Angelina effect.
You give me too much credit, Rob. Too much credit.
No, everybody's thinking it. Everybody's so excited that you were going to be on the podcast this week. After
I got my royalty check in the mail this week, actually.
Yes. Yes. They built this into the show of, okay, can we get the players to sit out of the challenge to eat rice, which you started.
I did. Mm-hmm. So what's your question though?
First off, what does it feel like to, have that sort of like be built into the show first before we talk about the specifics?
Yes. I think it's a fun addition. I think it makes for, obviously I love negotiations personally. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. I think it's cool that it's added in. I think it makes for more interesting television to have the rice be something that's not given, right? And that's kind of the whole theme of the 40s plus now is like nothing's given, it's everything's earned. And so I think the rice bartering fits well into that theme. I think a couple things. I think negotiations with Jeff are more exciting and interesting when it's not baked into the show, like when it's something that's initiated
right
by a player. And I don't know Survivor history as well as some people do, but I know there's been a few other instances of people like asking for something like a tarp or something else, you know, that they need from Jeff. So there have been a couple instances of like player initiated negotiation. I think it's more fascinating when it's player initiated rather than Jeff initiated. But I think either way, it's all positive. Like it's fun to watch, you know what I mean? And it's fun to see how it's evolving and see how the players react.
So now that the shoe is on the other foot and you're able to sort of sit back and watch these negotiations, first off, how do you rate Jeff as a negotiator?
Based off of 42 or just in general?
I guess in general, famously came out with what Jeff described as a low ball offer.
Yes.
Jeff, I feel like, comes out with a high ball offer to the contestants, but then immediately backs off of that high ball offer.
It seemed pretty quick. Yeah. I don't know if that was like jump in the editing, but it seemed like he backed down pretty quick. Here's my thing with the way that the negotiation is set up with Jeff. In real life negotiations, in normal negotiations, both parties have skin in the game, right? You're buying a house, for example. Mm-hmm. The person who has a house wants to get the most money they can for their house. The person buying the house wants to get it for the lowest possible amount that they can. And if you can find some sort of, you know, range where both parties agree on, cool, but both have skin in the game. The issue with negotiating with Jeff is his life doesn't change a centimeter.
Famously, he said, "My life is fine," when he was negotiating with Drew Christie.
100%. The only incentive, because I've thought about this a lot, right?
Yeah.
The only incentive Jeff has is for it to be good for his show.
Yes.
For it to be good for his viewers. He's not any different. His belly's not any different. His life's not any different. He's not more rich or poor because of the negotiations he has with the players, right? The only thing he wants is it to be good TV. And so it's hard because it's a very lopsided negotiation when it's players versus Jeff, right? And I knew that going into my negotiation with him, where it's like, I wanted to balance, like, I didn't want to piss him off because I didn't want us to have any sort of punishment from it, right? Because he has control over us. But I also wanted him to enjoy it. So I wanted to make it like enjoyable and good TV for him so that we'd get what we'd wanted. Right. So that was kind of my mindset going in with Jeff. I think because of that setup, it's hard to tell. It's hard for me to judge how good of a negotiator he is because, like I said, he has no true skin in the game.
Right.
I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows what's up. And he's not a pushover, right? Like he's a strong personality. He's got an ego and he doesn't want to be like, oh yeah, whatever you guys want. Like he wants it to seem like he's the monster, right? He wants
the monster's
be
hungry.
The monster thing kills me, by the way. Like I, hate the monster thing. It's so weird.
That based on what Jeff was saying, that when he talks about like, well, maybe the monster was going to be more hungry next season. Is Jeff the monster? That it makes it sound like, is the monster his alter ego?
I think it feels like borderline pillow talk to me. It's kind of like, what? This is a family show, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about? The monster.
Oh my
like,
God.
Come on, Jeff. This is PG television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels a little risque. Does it not? Do you not get that? You do, I can see on your face.
I don't know. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm blushing for everyone who's not watching the video.
It's just so interesting that like he seems really like he really wants people to sit out of this challenge for the rice. Like if
the
he said
hungry
the monster is hungry,
people.
If he says, hey, it's six, take it or leave it. I don't care. Like I'll be in the challenge. I don't care if you don't get any rice. It's like I feel like he really wants to give them the rice. It seems like.
I think he knows they need the rice, right?
Like
I think
rice.
He
yeah.
knows these people are, you know, they need to be able to stand up and do a challenge without fainting, right? So mm-hmm. he knows, and that's actually good information for future players. He knows you need to eat or else you can't compete on his show.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe that's part of the skin in the game is the health of the yes. players.
But I feel like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like that was your ace in the hole in your negotiation with Jeff that you must have known. Like I have to think that the Survivor players at that point in time said, hey, let's we're big portions. Like they're not going to let us die. Like let's eat the rice. They're going to give us more. Right. Was that not in the back of people's minds?
It was never spoken, I yeah. will say that, but it was in the back of my mind, right? It's like they don't want us to be dysfunctional. They don't right. want us to literally be collapsing because then what do they have? They don't have any characters, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I definitely kept that in mind. And like I said, I think future players should keep that in mind. I thought the players, I don't know why they started at two, first of all. I don't know why their starting offer was two when mm-hmm. anyone who watched the show knows that we got it for one.
right.
And
what did Jeff start at? Did Jeff start at nine? Yeah.
Started at nine. Which of course you started. If you start at nine, I'm gonna start at a half. I'll give you my leg.
Two people in the challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, half a person, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You get half. I'm gonna do my lower half, we'll do the challenge, my other half will sit out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so wild that they like bake it into like that. It's that it's a negotiation. Like we're going to negotiate with the players for the rice.
Institutionalized now, yeah, which is fun. I mean, it's like the auction's gone. Now we have the rice negotiation. This is the new age Survivor. But yeah, I think the players should push it in the future. I don't think four is his bottom. I think that Jeff will go lower. So I hope future seasons will. Push him. I think they can get two. I think they can get two people for the rice.
Okay.
And I think they should walk away if they don't.
You know what, Jeff? You know what? We've talked about it. We'll fish. We have a Hawaiian sling. We have Jonathan.
I don't know where Jonathan's getting 400 calories a day. Like it must be all that fish. That's crazy.
That he says he's eating 400 on the island or
a lot. I mean, I got like 100 a day.
Yeah. Well, he's catching a lot
just
of fish.
From the rice. He's got all that. Yeah. He's got all that fish.
He eats 4,000 to 5,000 outside.
That's impressive. He's a machine, man. He's a machine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I love the negotiation thing. I think it's super fun. I'm glad it's a part of it. But yeah, push the envelope, future players. Let's see what the monster will do when you say two or bust, two or walk away, right? Two or I'll starve and I'll die on your beach. See what happens then. If I was that guy, that'd be so feisty with them. I'd just be like, I don't even care.
Boy,
what do you want, Jeff?
Angelina, when you go back, they're not going to know what to do with you.
I thought I was nice last time. I thought I was like, chill.
They'll be
like,
sorry.
I'm going to be a mess if I go back because I'm just going to want to have fun. I was so serious last time. If I go back, I'm just going
to
be like, here for the ride, here for the story.
You have to.
I'm going to try to negotiate with Jeff every time we walk into mm-hmm. a challenge. Hey, Jeff, what you got?
That's it? That's all the reward you got?
Like, no,
you call that a reward? That.
We already talked. We've unionized, Jeff. Yeah. And actually, we want Outback Steakhouse instead of Applebee's. And if you can't get that, we're not competing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, total divas. Mm-hmm. You would be so pissed. You'd be like, you guys are crazy.
I mean, how about that reward last time was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I liked that one, actually.
That was good?
I'm a vegetarian, so okay. I like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would have eaten everyone's sandwich.
Yeah. As a vegetarian, did you eat like Hai was forced to eat on the island? Did you ever have to?
I made one exception. Yes. At the merge feast. I had salami.
Yeah.
Yep, I did eat a little bit of protein then, just because I was listening to my body and I was like, all right, it stayed down. You know, I only had a little bit. It stayed down. I used to eat meat as a, teenager, as a kid and everything. So I had like the enzymes or whatever, but I don't eat meat in my adulthood because of, moral, ethical reasons. Mm. So, but you have to make exceptions when you're out there. I totally related to Hai when he was talking about that.
I want to talk about Chanel and where things went wrong for her ultimately in the game. Did you have any thoughts on Chanel and how it worked out for her?
Yeah, I think her nail in the cross, unfortunately, was putting that one vote on Mike. I think had she not done that, she wouldn't have had Mike's like... He gives me, maybe it's because he's from Jersey, but he gives me like mafiosa vibes. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, I got a hit on her. Like she's out. She's done. She's done.
To me.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think had she not done that, she might have lasted tribal. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that was, did not work out great for her. Like, I understand why she did what she did. And that whole week that we talked about that vote, I said that, it's like, she wrote down Mike's name. He's not going to like it, but they're going into the merge. They're not just going to throw away a number. It's like, it's going to be like, hey, so sorry you don't like this, Mike, but you need my number. I did not imagine a scenario, and I am imagining for Chanel, she couldn't think of this either, that basically like the majority of the three tribes were going to come together and make one super alliance.
Yes. And I think that for certain people, they'd be able to be like, it was just, it was just a game move. I get it. Like, move on. Like, honestly, maybe even Hai would have been more understanding just based off of the character. You see, Mike seems like he definitely took it more personally and was like, nope, it's a personal vendetta. Mm-hmm. Now she's done. Like, she's done to me, So
you can't trust her.
Mm-hmm. And some people are like that, cross me once and we're over. Some people are more flexible. I think in Survivor, you have to be more flexible, right? You can't just automatically turn it off for someone just because they do one bad thing against you. It's like, it's a long game, maybe not as long for them because, they're spoiled with their 26 days, but you have to kind of play the long game and be like, well, yeah, they kind of screwed me here. I might screw them there. And then maybe we'll find our way back to each other,
Yeah. You mentioned Drea and all of the advantages that she has, that it was such a fun moment in the episode last night where she had the beware advantage, that she stuck her hand into the, and it's like something that you would probably never think to do of like, hey, like, what is this? Should I like fish this out with a stick? And like, no, I got to hurry and grab it. And she ends up getting the red paint all over her arm.
Such a fun addition. I'm loving. Yeah. I know a lot of people are like loving the blood and the paint. And I think that's such an extra element that production has added that is really fun to watch.
Yeah. And so with Drea and now all of this power, I mean, ultimately, do you think that does she have so much that she becomes like a huge target?
Yeah, obviously it depends on who knows what, right? But it seems that nowadays, just the way that all these advantages are set up is that many of them cannot be kept private just by the way that they are created, right? The amulet, you automatically have two other people who know, and then I'm sure they tell their alliances, right? The idol unlock with the crazy phrase, like everyone and their mom knows, right? And then now with the blood, it's like they're definitely making it where it's more transparent to the other players, which makes it more complicated and makes it more of a target. So I think that I wish that there were some where you could be more covert. I wish not all of them were like that out in the open, because I do think that it does create like an imbalance, a disadvantage to having the advantage. And maybe there should be two sides to the advantage, right? But I wish there was a possibility. I think it makes it so interesting when someone has something that no one knows about and then they like release it at the right time and it's like fireworks. You know what I mean? Like when Poverty did the double idol, it's like not everyone knew and she was like, bam, bam, double assassination. And it was epic, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do worry for Drea that she has so much that she's a target. I will say it's diluted, though, because so many people have so much that it's kind of like, okay, so we could go for Drea. We could go for, you know, Mike has an idol. Marianne has an idol. It's like, it's when so many people have so much, it definitely makes it less of a temptation to like just go after someone because they have a few things in their pocket. And not everyone knows about the most recent thing with Drea.
Knowledge is power, yeah.
Except for Tori, who, you know, props for her. She's very perceptive. Like, she definitely is like, keeps an eye open when she sleeps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. But yeah, she was like, she was on her about the paint. She's like, that flag's not painted.
Yes, she was on top of it. You know, you mentioned about how people have you know, asked you if you feel like that you do you see any of yourself in Tori's game. Do you feel like are we not giving Tori enough credit for the game that she's played so far?
It's a complicated question because it's hard when all you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, because I have been out there and I've been someone who got a complicated edit. I won't call it a bad edit. I got a complicated edit. I'm a complicated person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there were elements of truth to what was shown, but then there was definitely like elements of fictionalized, you know, things too. So I have a very nuanced way that I watch the show. I don't dislike anyone. Before I went on the show, I did, right? I was like a little bit more like, let the show take me where it wants to take me. I'm more of a critical eye now, and I can see through and say, okay, I see what they're showing me. I see what they want me to think. But that's not necessarily what I think. So with Tori, a lot of what we're seeing are these tough moments, right? These conversations where she doesn't seem to have a ton of finesse, or where, she's having like just a little bit of an awkwardness, you know? And the reality is we all have those moments every day.
Yeah.
it's just when you dilute them and that's all you see, then that impacts your perception. I think if you take a really nuanced look and try to look beneath the edit a little bit, I think on a physical level, Tori's killing it, right? That's obvious. That's facts, right? First two out the gate with the immunity challenges. She's very, very physically got it together. Very talented in that way. She's obviously smart, but like I said, I think her downfall is going to be that she's playing so aggressively that she's kind of forgetting the softness, the human element. Right. And like I said, I'll own it. I did that too at times, right? Where I was like, I just want to be such a badass survivor player that I forgot like about empathy sometimes. And I forgot about just being a nice person at times, you know what I mean? Cause I was just so wrapped up in the game, and it's really easy to get wrapped up in the game when you're out there. So yeah, I know that's a long-winded answer, but I feel for her. I feel for her edit. I don't know her personally, but I just think she's a fascinating player. I think it's really rare that we have a blonde female villain. The last one I can remember would be Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think there's more similarities between Chrissy and Tori than me and Tori.
Yeah. And I know that like from like the people that were in the season, I think that they felt like that they had complicated feelings with Chrissy. I don't know if like the edit presented Chrissy like in as much of a villainous way as we've seen with Tori, but I definitely feel like that there were moments where that particular group didn't always vibe with Chrissy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know Chrissy in the game. I just know Chrissy out of the game. So I kind of have that piece too. And I love Chrissy as a person, but yeah, any of us, it's interesting. Like any of us who have kind of been like the female villain of our season, like we kind of have like a back channel connection to each other. I haven't reached out to Tori yet. I should just to kind of be that support for her. But I remember during my season, like Cass reached out and Chrissy reached out and like, so there's this little, you know, secret society of
wow, this is
villain women.
This is very, you know? Very, very interesting.
I haven't talked to Jerry. I got to talk to the original, you know, the OG. So
yeah. But you and Chrissy also have in common that both of you, reach the end and then did not get the support from the jury in terms of making your case for why you should win the game. Do you think that Tori could be on a trajectory to have a different outcome if she gets to the final three?
No, I think if she got to the end, just based off of how things are going now, I don't think she would get many votes. And I'm really not trying to say that disrespectfully. You know, I got zero votes. So it's like, I'm just, as a realist, I think people have to like you to vote for you, right? They have to like you and they have to respect your game. Mm-hmm. If they don't have both, you don't have a vote. Because I had people who liked me as a friend, as a co-player, but I think there's also this desire to be a part of the group that picks the winner. So I think people on the jury try to vote for the person that they think other people are going to vote for because they want to feel that power. I think it's like the last bit of power that they have in the game, right? So I think they want to be in that last majority. But I do think, yeah, people have to like you and respect your game. I think there's certainly elements of Tori's game that are very respectable. Just based off of what we've seen, I don't know how many of her co-players like her as a person out there. I'm sure in real life, she has plenty of friends from the island now, but that was the problem I faced was that it was like, I didn't have that match for both obviously anyone on the jury, but I think that's the combination you have to have. You have to strike that balance. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when you're playing an aggressive game, and a little bit blinded by that, then, you lose some people along the way. So
is there something that you would do different, or do you feel like that it was more of a flaw, like in the game at that particular time, and that maybe the circumstances in Survivor have changed enough that, it would be received differently?
I think I would do better. I don't think I'd ever win the game. I'm not just saying that. I'm really not trying to be humble. I'm just trying to be honest. Like, I don't think I have what it takes to win Survivor. I think I have what it takes to go far. Like, I'm persistent and I'm ambitious and I'm committed, but I'm not super athletic. For whatever reason out there, I'm not super likable. I think in real life, I'm decently likable, but on the island, it's like, it just, it's tough. It's a different environment, And so I do think though, if I played with returning players, I do think returning players in general take things less personally, like going out there again. And you've played twice. So you tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I think when you're returning, you realize it's a game because you've done it before and you're back out and you're like, this is a game. I don't think you take things to heart as much. And so I think my kind of gameplay and my personality might do better with an all returning cast. But you tell me, do you feel like the second time you played?
Well, yeah, I can't tell you a lot about the second time I played. Unfortunately, Angelina, didn't go that great. But I think that you would be very respected, especially among returning players in a season, especially if you're going to bat for the tribe and negotiating with Jeff and getting rice for everybody and only one person has to sit out of the challenge. How do they not appreciate that?
You know what? And it's so funny, hindsight, right? It's like, I really didn't realize I was like mentioning it so much afterwards. Mm-hmm. Or even like when I got mad at Davey, you look back everything in life. It's like, you look back and you're like, oh my God, I could have done that so much better. But you know what? Live and learn. I'm older now. I'm a mom now. I think my biggest thing, because one of the questions I got from my Twitter folks was if I would play again. And my answer has changed over time. Like right after the show aired, I was like, yes, like I will play again. Like I'll get back out there and, prove everyone wrong. But then I became a mom and then I was like, I can never leave my kid for that long. Like I'm just so attached. I mean,
that's 26 days.
26 days better than 39 for leaving a kiddo. Yeah. But honestly, for me, the reality is, it would have to be well into the future in order to be gone for that length of time. And I know you understand because you're a dad and you didn't have kids when you went, right?
No.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing for me. And hats off, I mean, to the people who are able to go and do that, like live your life, no judgment at all. But just for me and our relationship and just the way things are, it's like I would have too much separation anxiety. Actually, I have dreams sometimes that I'm out there and away from her and I can't get back. Like, it's like a nightmare. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to get to my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows, you know, who knows, maybe 5-6 years from now, if I'm even relevant. That's the thing, is like, this show is like,
always,
I'm going to be
legends
so old.
Never die, Angelina. Survivor 50. Yes.
I love that movie. But you know what I mean? It's like, there's going to be so many new hot things that people are going to be like, Angelina, who, you know what I mean? It's like, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. If I never play Survivor again in my life, mm-hmm. I will be okay with that. I'm so happy I did it the first time. Obviously it was a mixed bag, but on the whole, I am grateful for the experience and everything that's come from it and everything I learned.
I feel like, you know, this conversation has taken a turn, because then you were wearing a buff and then and then you said, you know what, I don't think I'm ever going to play Survivor again. You took the buff off.
That was subconscious. That is so crazy. That was subconscious, Rob. Wow. You're like, Corey, you don't miss anything.
I'm done with this show.
I'm hanging up my hat. I'm retiring. Like
45 minutes, you have to go talk yourself out of ever going back.
Oh my gosh. I actually got asked to go on this other reality
show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have some friends that got asked.
I don't even think I'm allowed to talk about it, but it's some random thing in Scotland, like called the the Traitors.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, a different show. Yes.
So, and I was just like, oh my, I'm not going to go to Scotland for 2 weeks to be on the Traitors, but you know, it's nice. It's nice they thought of me.
Angelina, you mentioned some questions that you got on Twitter. You posted a tweet today and said you asked the listeners for any questions that they had for you. We went through, we pulled some. Were there any that you saw that you especially wanted to answer?
You know what? I'd love to hear the ones that popped out to you, Rob. And then after we do those, I'll let you know if any weren't covered.
Okay, great. So we pulled some of those. We pulled questions from the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Ian has a question about Tori is constantly on the outs and seemingly the target, but she also could have easily been seen by others as a number for them if they keep her in the game. What could Tori do differently to position herself to have a shot at winning and not being taken to the end?
Well, I think she's already doing that legwork in terms of like getting her resume built up with the immunity wins. Like, obviously that is something that people respect. That's the, you know, outplay portion. I think in terms of how she could strengthen it, you know, there's still quite a few days left. I think if she rebuilds those relationships, as I kind of mentioned, I think if she can really get some inroads with people and kind of regroup and rebuild her way back into the tribe, who knows, she could be at the end, she could get a couple votes. I don't see her winning necessarily, but I do could see her going far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just watching the show, it doesn't feel like we are headed towards a Tory win, but I mean, after Erica's win last season, I guess what do we know about the edit?
That was the monster last season.
That was the monster.
Her under edit.
Yes.
Like, what a blind side for us. I mean, I'm so happy she won. Like,
sure.
Erica's phenomenal. So happy. I mean, first Canadian winner, I think first Filipina winner. So many things to celebrate. She broke the curse of, what was it? Like, how many?
It was six seasons in a row where a man had won.
Yeah. So hats off to Erica. But I do wish, I mean, even my neighbors watch and they were like, where did that come from? Like, they're up in arms, right? And I think they're really representative of the broader community. And I think a lot of people felt just confused by it because we didn't see enough. So, you know, I wish we would have seen more. I know a lot of people say that too, but I'm still happy she won.
Okay. Baby Andy had a question for you. We saw you risk
Baby Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long story. We saw you risk your life on a 100-foot ladder in order to find an idol. Is there any beware advantage task that you wouldn't do to get an advantage?
Is there any task I would do
that you would not do?
Well, clearly not. Cause the ladder wasn't 100 feet. I climbed a mountain that was
100 feet. Yes. Feet,
maybe more like 50. It felt like 100, Rob. If I had fallen, I would have died. I stand by that.
Okay.
So clearly
covered in fake blood, maybe.
No, I would do it all. Yeah. Okay. I mean, what was it, Elaine? Risk it for the biscuit. Yeah. Yes. You're out there.
That's right.
You gotta play it. No regrets. No ragrets. You know, you gotta do it.
are you quoting the band Tattoo?
The Hangover. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we saw Jonathan carrying the ladder. I saw you had tweeted out that you were the pioneer. You were the trendsetter carrying the ladder without anybody else's help.
No, I think I said that my ladder would have parted the seas.
Okay.
I promise anyone, my tweets are either self-deprecating or like over the
you're
top.
You're so good at it. No, you have a really great sense of humor, and you never take yourself too seriously.
My thing is I want to troll myself now more than anyone. I'm my own biggest troll right now. Mm-hmm. So I've taken back the mic.
But you have the right attitude with that, because as you mentioned, you had a complicated edit and you didn't really come out and say like, no, let me set the record straight on everything. Like you were able to laugh at yourself also, but also like talk about like what you were trying to accomplish, whether things worked, whether they didn't.
Sometimes you hit and miss. Yeah.
it really is the right attitude that you need to have with like people coming through the show.
Thank you. It's just all, it's all in good fun, but no, Jonathan with that ladder was, I wish I had had him on my season. Mm-hmm. I had little old Nick and Mike carrying the ladder with me through the jungle. I'm grateful for them. Wouldn't have found it without them, clearly, because mm-hmm. my head was not screwed on right. We needed Mike, little wind up. We needed Nick's, Kentucky smarts to his lawyerly smarts to show me that the ladder belonged against the waterfall. So grateful for it. But no, Jonathan, I mean, he could have picked that up with his pinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
I know last season you remarked on all of the jackets in season 41. Have you done any jacket checks for season 42?
So here's my thing. I have not felt inspired by the jacket apparel of season 42. I felt inspired by the content of the cast and of the season. I'm really enjoying it. But on the jacket front, I did not feel... I'll only do a ranking. I'm really serious about my jacket ranking. Okay. I'm only going to do a jacket ranking if I feel inspired, okay. If I feel called to do it. And I didn't feel it this season.
Yeah. Do you feel like that you could potentially have made any sort of a difference in the amount of clothes that the survivors have at this point in time?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I hope so. I mean, I do think obviously having more layers and more warmth is an advantage, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all about creating as much equality in the game. They actually legally have to create an equal game because of like gambling laws. And so everyone has to have an equal shot. So if there's anything that's perceived as an inequality, then it kind of puts them at risk. Yeah. So they didn't like when I said during confessionals that like, hey, some people have better jackets and better warmth. Like that is a huge advantage when you're having cyclones and really bad rain. So who knows, maybe they started thinking like, okay, we better make sure everyone's got a good warm piece of clothing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. But if I went back out there again, Rob, I'm bringing my parka.
A parka.
I'm not messing around. I'm bringing up my East Coast grad school parka. It's a North Face. It's like, it's over the top and I would bring it 100%.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it makes the show any worse for anybody if like people have like heavy jackets warm or anything like that. You know, it sort of like starts to get into a little bit of like, well, is this a jacket or a sleeping bag? But you know,
that would be me. Yeah. I would toe that line of like,
but who cares? Who cares?
Where is Angelina? Like, is she there or is it just the down comforter? You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're going to take it off when it's hot during the day. Like, it's like, who cares what they're sleeping in? Okay. Zach and Ian asked the question, would you have sat out for rice or a jacket?
They asked me that on mine. Yes. I was so desperate for a jacket, as everyone saw. Mm-hmm. My willingness to pay for a jacket was so high. I literally almost offered Lyrsa real money after the game to give me, but I was like, I remember reading in the contract, like, you're not allowed to do that. Like, you're not allowed to like actually offer real things after, but I was like trying to like get away from the cameras and be like, girl, I'll give you, I was going to give her like $1,000 after the game. I could have probably gone up even more. I was so desperate, but to answer the question, I would have done more than sat out for a jacket. Like, honestly, I would have gone to great lengths as I, you know, as was shown to secure a jacket out there.
Okay. How about Bill wants to know, would becoming a parent change your gameplay if you came back to play for a second time? I really hope that you do. That's from Bill.
Thank you, Bill. For sure. I think I actually read something recently as really touching that when, I don't know if it's true for, you know, the male partner, it's not always a male partner, but for the person who carries the baby, I read recently that like literally the cells in your body change completely, like from having that human inside of you. So you're literally a whole new person in a lot of ways on a cellular level, like after becoming a mother. And so for me, it's like, I'm a different person now, right? I'm still me at my core, but I think in terms of how it might relate to the game, if I ever played again, yeah, I think I'd have more perspective, more patience, more empathy, and more to relate on with more people, right? It's like you understand the world a lot differently when you become a parent. So I think, yeah, I think I would have to play differently and I'd want to play differently. And I think becoming a parent just makes, I think it makes you a better survivor player and a better person.
Yeah. And you probably learn patience.
100%. Yeah. Would you have a toddler who's two and it's like they're throwing food across? And she took cheese and like she sprinkled cheese all over the carpet the other day. And it's like, okay, I'm like, okay, I see setback. You. I do. I'm proud of myself. I've never raised my voice with my daughter. I'm like zen. I'm like, I see you learning about the cheese and emptying the bag. Could you help me pick the cheese back up? She's like, okay, mama. And like, that's just, that's how we are. That's how I parent her. So yeah, definitely patience and definitely just a better understanding of the world. So.
You know, talking about the cheese in the carpet got me thinking about all the metaphors that they do on Tribal Council. Have you seen a shift even from when you played to what these Tribal Councils are like now, where we spent like so many different ways to try to describe now famously, Christian referred to the merge vote being like trying to start an old car and did like the sound effects of what that was like. They were talking last night all about driving the car. But do you feel like that the types of conversation at Tribal Council are in any way different from when you played?
I feel on the whole that maybe people are less like evasive. I feel like in the past, it's kind of been like people just try to like hurry up and get past the question. But I do feel like people in more recent seasons have been more open to sharing more and maybe been a little bit more persuadable, like during tribal rather than like super locked into what they're doing. Yeah, I think it's becoming a little bit more dynamic. I think it's becoming a little bit more fluid. Both before tribal and at tribal too.
I just feel like that sometimes like they get into like they're playing like an improv game and it's like what else is this like what does it sound like right now,
you know,
like,
what is the percolating and maybe they are inspired by Christian, right? Because he was beautiful at that. He was like so good at that. Yeah, sometimes it does feel like people are trying to like one up each other on like the metaphor and like, let me tell you about my mother's uncle's cousin and this, you know, thing that happened when I was three, you know? So, and I love that. You know, I love that, but I do think that it's like, you're seeing more and more of people opening up and getting personal and using that time as almost like an open mic.
they're trying stuff.
Like I'm ready for someone to like break out in song. You know what I mean? Pull the guitar out.
Yeah. Jeff might like that.
Yeah, maybe a little, you know, little poem, spoken word at tribal.
Sure. I mean, I just like, you know, spice it up a little bit.
Who knows? Okay. By season 50, who knows?
Okay. All right. Sassalot wants to know, we're seeing Drea sitting in an advantage tsunami. If you could pick one to have her use in your game, which is your favorite? That's not the immunity idol. All right. So there's not that many other options.
The amulet, the extra vote, or what's her
knowledge is power.
Oh, I don't like knowledge is power because it wouldn't be knowledge is power. I think it's, I don't think it ends well for the user. I think you get something, but you have to strip it. So there's like that loss aversion, right? And then everyone knows you have it. So I don't think that one's a good
one. So do you think that that this ends badly for Drea with this particular advantage?
I don't see a ton of upside to it. Like, honestly, I almost feel like it's one of those where it might be better to either give it to someone else so that like they look like the bad guy, but then you get kind of a little bit of a kudos with them for helping them. But I wouldn't want that blood on my hands of being, it's almost like a stick up, right? It's like you walk in and you're like, do you have that? I want that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then everyone knows you literally stripped it from that person. You probably voted them out. Like, it just looks nasty, you know? And it survivors that constant balance of like,
and how do you do that to like poor Marianne?
But you don't want to look nasty, right? And so it's always a fine line. It's so hard to pull off, you know?
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine like stealing Marianne's idol and then sending her to the jury like that? And
she's so sweet. Like, come on.
You're a monster. You're the monster.
That's the monster. Yeah. Marianne's like the nicest person to ever walk the earth. Like, how are you going to strip her of her idol and then send her to the jury? She's not going to vote for you. Come on.
And then on the other hand, think about, I mean, we saw what happened when Chanel just voted for Mike. What do you think is going to happen when you steal his idol and send him to the jury?
Oh, man, he's going to be on a rampage. He's going to burn down Ponderosa. Like, no, there's no way. So to answer the question, I think of those, I think the amulet's interesting. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I like that it has the team component. I think the answer is the extra vote. I think it's the most stealth one. Not everyone knows when you're playing it. And it has a very clear advantage, especially at certain numbers, right? When you're at certain numbers where it's like, it's really critical to have one extra vote. I think that one's the most powerful of what's remaining.
This is a question that we got from AJ, who wants to know, what's the best way to deal with a player that Jeff obviously loves? I had the great pleasure of talking with Christian last week on the podcast. I'm sure that was something that was talked about. It was in the show where you could tell, Jeff is really enjoying what he is getting from Christian in your season. Would you say, were you in that category also? Did you feel like that you were one of Jeff's favorites?
I felt like he came to me a lot. Yeah. For sure. Like, he asked me a lot of questions. I mean, but the thing with Christian is everyone loves Christian, right? Like, you can't not love Christian's like a Marianne. It's like, you just listen to them and it's like butterflies are flying everywhere and rainbows in the background, right? It's just like, they're just so perfect and charming. I think Jeff liked me and came to me because I was able to answer his questions. And Jeff likes that.
Yeah. And you were giving them gold.
No, I wasn't. I answered his questions. And I think, I know that Jeff and Matt and others, just because they've told me, liked my candor. They liked my ferocity. They liked my confidence. And I mean, that's why they put me on the show, right? And that's why, I had the most confessionals of the season. Like, there's a reason that I was, front and center. And also because I was a mess sometimes. So it was fun to watch for people and polarizing. But yeah, so Jeff would come to me a lot. I don't know if I would. I mean, he said I would be the player from our season that he would cast first above everyone, which is crazy because I would cast Christian first for sure. So that's a nice thing to know that you're enough of a mess. They want you back.
Okay. So as a person who's out there, you see that, Jeff is like asking this guy a lot of questions and you say, everybody can see, what's going on here. I mean, how does that change the plan of what you want to do? Because I have this correctly, I feel like that you were the person who was saying when you got to the merge, right? That the vote should be Christian.
I was.
And then they didn't. They said, no, that's not a good idea. And then then Dan said, hey, we've voted out Christian. And then everybody said, oh, that's a great idea, Dan.
Yeah, that didn't work out well for him. Mm-hmm. Or for many of them. Yeah. Yeah, they tried to get Christian for like 3 or 4 votes after that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, so I was right, but
it would have worked if they would have done it when you said.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the way that I tried to build that consensus wasn't the best, especially given the personalities. Like, you always have to take into account the egos and the personalities. And I think the way that I spoke to these big guys that were, mm-hmm. you know, thought of a very masculine, very sensitive in some ways. And they're like, why is she going to tell me what to do? You know what I mean? And it's like, because I'm maybe a little smarter than you and trying to help you so you don't get voted out second and third, which they did. So, you know what? I made it to the end. They didn't make it to the end. So I got my money in the bank. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Not as yeah. much as Nick. But no, I related to what Chanel said at the beginning of the episode when she's like, I feel like I'm playing checkers and I'm playing chess and they're playing checkers, which is, I mean, awful to hear her say, knowing that now that she's the person that was voted out.
But, you know, I asked her about that this morning on the exit interview. She said she actually misspoke, that she said that she just said it backwards, that she felt like that they were playing chess and she was playing checkers. She actually said it the wrong way.
See, that changes the meaning a lot. yes. But at that first merge vote, when I was
you
like,
were playing chess.
I felt like I was playing chess. And yes. I was like, what are you guys doing? But you know what?
but let's go back to, okay, so like, okay, we have somebody like a Marianne, okay? Yeah. Jeff is really, you know, seems to be going to her a lot. How does that change the way that you approach Marianne in the game?
Like me as a co-player?
As a player, yes. As somebody else who's out there.
Because Jeff is talking to her a lot.
Yes. Or is it, maybe it's no impact.
No, I think there's an impact. I mean, I think it depends on the person, right? But it's like, I think what it does is incentivizes people to be more dynamic and interesting in their responses, mm-hmm. right? I think people in general want Jeff's attention. Players, not everyone, you know, not everyone, but I think in general, there is this like power dynamic. And I think players like want his attention. They want his approval. And it can feel like approval when, you know, like, oh, he comes to me a lot and he wants to know what I have to say. And I think it creates incentive for other players to be a little bit more expressive and open and honest and interesting. So I think that's what it creates. Seeing all the things Christian was saying, how much Jeff loved him, how much everyone loved him, that's what made me think at the merge, like, this guy is the guy that we got to get because he's so, everyone's captivated by him. Everyone's in love with him, including Jeff. So, you know, it exposes you a little bit more, for better or for worse.
I know Survivor has made a lot of changes over the last couple of years, even since you played the game. Is there anything else that you see that you feel like that the show should be maybe taking a look at, potentially changing in the next couple of years?
Well, one thing that obviously season 39 was a lot. Yeah. And I don't want to unpack all of that. I wrote an op-ed in Time with all of my thoughts and feedback on how things could be improved on that situation. A lot of those were presented by Jeff at the finale show. And I was happy to see that. One thing I don't know, and this is something actually that Cass has been talking about for a long time, is kind of what their production diversity looks like, right? Mm-hmm. So they have done a huge commitment, a big thanks to the Survivor Diversity Campaign as of season 40 to have more diverse casts, which is great. Like, I think that is such a needed move, right? And hats off for that. I don't know what the behind the scenes diversity looks like, right? So production and everyone kind of down the line. And I think that that's important to have for many reasons. So again, I don't know what it looks like behind the curtain right now, but I'm a big advocate for making sure that kind of both sides, both the front end, which is the cast, and the back end, which is all of the staff and the people who work really hard to make sure that you have diverse voices in those rooms, too, in the editing room, in the, you know, in all the different parts of the game. So,
Yeah, I do know that it was part of, in terms of like the work that the Survivor Diversity Campaign did, that, you know, it wasn't just in front of the camera. I know that there was going to be, a commitment to, have a more diverse crew behind the camera. I'm not sure like if there was like a rollout of that or where they're at right now. But I do know that there was, a change in adding new production people to help tell the diverse stories of the diverse, more diverse cast that they added to the show.
And I think we're seeing that, right? I mean, even just look at this season, it's like we're seeing glimpses into these storylines that are so beautiful and so captivating, seeing Omar pray and Mike want to learn about that. And the LGBTQI, just representation on this season is fantastic. And then you get conversations like you had between High and Romeo, because there's not just one or two token gay people out there, yeah. You know what I mean? And so I love that. I think that America benefits from that. I think the players benefit from that. I think you end up with a more representative winner at the end. Not necessarily mean to say they have to be a minority or anything like that, but when you have all these different kinds of people and walks of life, it just makes it so that it's a more fair shot for everyone to win. So I'm really happy to see those changes.
Speaking of a winner, do you have a pick for who's going to win season 42 of Survivor?
Putting me on the spot. I don't have a horse in the race, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not spoiled. I'll say that. I'm not spoiled. I make a really conscious effort to not get spoiled on seasons because I love watching them a lot more when I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to say I'm not going to put my flag down right now.
Okay.
Give me another week or so once I have a winner pick.
Okay. Then here, let me ask you maybe an easier question. Who's going home next?
Oh gosh, Romeo.
Romeo.
Yeah. Poor Romeo. Romeo. Oh, Romeo.
Do you think, is there a path for the people on the bottom to flip this thing? Because I have been feeling after watching the episode that I could see a scenario where that by way of Omar, there's a possibility I could see of getting with Marianne, maybe Romeo, maybe Tori. Is there a path that you see that the bottom people could flip this thing?
Absolutely. Always. It's still so early. There's still so many people left. There's definitely a path for that. I'm curious to see, just based off of the preview, this potential male alliance that Mike's thrown out there. The men, we have the numbers. Like, I'm really curious to see how that plays out. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people might be surprised at that. Like, oh, Angelina, the feminist, like, it's okay to have a male alliance. Yeah. I mean, it's okay to have any sort of alliance that you want. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. If they do kind of get their act together, then I could see them voting out for like a Tory or something, right? They can kind of band together and like take Tory out. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Omar and High are too logical of players to like, just be like, oh yeah, let's let the guys. Like, I don't see them doing that. I think that they're more, I don't want to say advanced, but they're thinking on a pretty deep level.
I don't know how it's going to play out. That I had said that I thought that maybe that's maybe just something that you could sell Roxroy, that like, hey, Roxroy, come with us. Like, we're going to vote. It's going to be all guys. But, I feel like that Lindsay is still a big part of what they're doing. And
we do see a clash between Lindsay and Jonathan coming up, and they've been allies. So that's what I'm saying. It's that power struggle, right? It's like, and everyone's got an ego, right? But I do think sometimes there can be kind of like a fragile male ego situation out there where they feel like, I want to be driving a lot of times, right? And it's human nature. Like, I'm not saying that women are immune to that either, but I think that for men, a lot of times their whole self-worth comes from like, I have to be the macho guy in control driving the boat. And that was, part of my downfall was not pandering to that enough in my season. So I think I'm really curious to see kind of what this power struggle is like between Lindsay and Jonathan next episode.
Okay. Angelina, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners of Rob as a Podcast tonight?
Oh man. Just thank you. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when our season came out, it was rough waters during the season, but I will say since the airing, like, I've just kind of been so grateful and flooded with all these great patrons and fellow fans of the show. And people are just, people are really supportive. And I think a lot of them are from your community and from the broader Survivor community. So thank you for everyone who shows me love and support. And your energy does not go unnoticed. It really means a lot to me. I take it to heart. For all my Stangelinas, I see nice. You. I love you.
I haven't heard that before. Stangelinas.
Man, there's some really brilliant folks out there. But I appreciate you guys. Keep taking on the good fight. Keep being who you are, being proud of who you are, asking for what you want, going for what you want, and not being scared to. And just be bold, be yourself, and don't lessen yourself for anyone. Let your light shine. That's what I got to say to people. Let your light shine, baby.
It's a great message. Anything you want to direct people to check out with the nonprofit?
Yeah. So with Miss Limitless, we are a nonprofit, so I'd be remiss to not mention that. If you go to the website, I'm going to kind of do a little special thing for the next week. So if you go to our website, misslimitless.org, that's M-I-S-S, limitless.org. If you make a donation this next week, for anything over $20, include Rob has a podcast, or put Rob's name as the person that you're making the donation to. I will send you a signed photo of myself, to you as a thank you. And if you make any donations over $150, I will send you that signed photo as well as a free cameo as well as a thank you. So for the next week, would love anyone, obviously I know things are tight right now, so only give if you can, but the organization would be so, so thankful. We're really trying to put some good money into our program so we could reach as many young women as possible and empower them to find their voice and to become leaders early on so that they can lead into the future as well. So okay. Thank you.
That is, incredible what you're doing. That if I make the first donation, I can send the cameo to anybody I want.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me think about that. But I really appreciate you coming on with us. Give us the website one more time.
Yes. Miss, M-I-S-S, Limitless, LIMITLESS.org. It's also in my bio on Instagram too, for easy access, misslimitless.org. That's where you can find us. Hit the donate button. And like I said, thank you so much for anything y'all can give. I appreciate it.
Okay. Again, Angelina, I appreciate so much that you made the time to come on and talk
this
with us.
This is so fun. I know we got to do it more often.
The Stangelinas all appreciate it. So, and all the listeners do too. So thank you so much and appreciate it.
Thanks for staying up late.
It's not that late. Yeah.
You're going to be mad at me tomorrow morning. Okay.
All right. Take care, Angelina.
Well, thanks, Rob. All right. We'll talk soon.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Really fun interview with Angelina Cardona-Killey here on the podcast. Thanks again to Angelina for making the time to talk with us here tonight. We've got a lot more podcasts coming your way. I hope you enjoyed this one. We always appreciate hearing from you. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sisterino. I've been doing some Twitter spaces on Tuesdays during the week. So if you want to ever chat Survivor with me, you could do it there. Or for the patrons of Rob's podcast, I'll be live this Tuesday night with our monthly patron cast. If you want to call in and talk face to face, that's all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.